Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
We're back. Another edition of Kevin's Corner. We'll call this kind of owner's meeting recap here as we close out the month of March. You still got to think at some point here we're going to have a secondary move or two out of the Colts before offseason program, before the draft, you know, once you get into that part of the offseason. But did certainly have some news items league-wide and Colts-related exiting Florida this week, so we'll hit on those here on this edition of the pod. Eddie Garrison is with me, as always. Eddie, good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
It's almost Christmas, Kevin. It is almost Christmas.
Would that be the Masters?
No.
Would that be the NFL Draft?
No.
Would that be the Sweet 16?
No.
Would that be Easter?
No.
I'm confused.
It won't be opening day.
Ah, opening day. And then once it gets to Earth Day, our Reds are out of it, and then we regroup for next year.
That's right.
I think you would suit up for the Reds right now with how banged up they are from an injury standpoint. Let's lead off today, podcast-wise, Eddie, on just a couple of the league notes there on the rule changes. The hip drop tackle, I think it's just going to be borderline impossible to create black and white officiating on that. The actual throwing of the flag, I mean, yeah, do you start with fines? And, you know, it's one of the one or few kind of safety-related items. That's what the competition committee and the NFL pitches. Oh, we're doing this for safety reasons. Well, the NFLPA is like, we don't want it. You know, it's one of the few times the NFLPA is like, no. We want to push back on that. You know, I just imagine myself, you're a DB, Eddie. I'm a wideout coming into a game.
Yep.
I've got to think about very little from a finable penalty standpoint when I'm playing wideout. You as a DB, you got to think about a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
Don't hit me above the shoulder. Don't you. That quarterback's sliding. Watch out. No. And now I'm in the open field and I'm trying to catch Tyreek Hill. And at all costs, by all means, I'll do anything to get him on the ground. And now I've got to think about that. It's just...
How do you tackle somebody from behind? Like, you physically can't.
Right. It creates a lot of, like, split-second thinking. And I mean, that's very difficult when bodies are moving and your target, you know, your general target area can change in a split second. So, you know, I know the numbers were just kind of one a game. If you look at it from last year, what the NFL said. I watched the video the NFL released on the hip drop tackle. Damn. I mean, there are some tackles I'm like, wait, that constitutes as a penalty? I mean, that looks normal to me. I love the idea, though, of changing the kickoff. I thought it was interesting. Pat McAfee had the Saints special teams coach on yesterday. His name's escaping me, but he was a big spearheader in getting the kickoff rule to look like the XFL. And he mentioned last year the return rate was 21% in the NFL. And if you call touchbacks a non-play, I thought he said there were over 2,000 non-plays last year in the NFL. So if you take the return rate at 21% and you climb that to 45 or 50, you obviously would then take the non-plays, almost cut that, you know, whatever, cut that down significantly. Now we're just going to add a little bit more entertainment and action. I think it's great for, you know, back into special team guy, back into the roster guys. And I mean, the few highlights I've seen from the XFL, it's a somewhat entertaining play. I'm not going to act like it's earth-shattering, but it's at least something different there. So... I'm good with that. Trying to think what else league-wise.
You can now gain a third challenge, right? If you get one of the two correct.
That makes sense. You know, if we're correcting a referee's mistake, I should be able to maintain what I use to challenge that. So I like that. I saw the Eagles' proposal was denied, the 4th and 20 instead of the onside kick. But I think for the most part.
Trade deadline pushed back a week.
Yeah, I like that. That kind of fits a little bit more like the NBA, Major League Baseball. You get it kind of deeper into the season there. You might have a little bit more activity. As we know, the NFL is easily the least active of all the leagues when it comes to the trade deadline. I guess kind of shifting gears to the Colts. I a couple comments, head scratching related. I thought some interesting. And by the way, shout out to, you know, Stephen Holder, James Boyd, Nate Atkins, JJ Stankovitz, Colts.com crew. I've been fortunate to go down to the owners' meetings before, both in Arizona and Florida. It's a great, great time, and the one event all year that typically your head coach, GM, and the owner all meet the media. Now, Jim Irsay, due to health reasons, of course, not there. You know, I mentioned this on the podcast before, but I guess it's worth bringing up again. This was the first Irsay public appearance on the schedule for me. Like, would he normally is very public at the owners' meetings. Would we see that? And the next one now, Eddie, will be a month from today, actually. That would be Saturday of the draft. April 27th is Saturday of the draft. That's when he pops into the media room at the Colts facility and gives, I'd call it kind of a spring state of the union. You know, he certainly talks about the draft. But it gives his thoughts overall on the offseason as a whole, as the first 2 days of the draft at that point will have, you know, kind of moved on there. So that is something to keep in mind now as we await. You know, obviously, whatever, could travel impede him, you know, those sorts of things. So we did hear from Chris Ballard. We did hear from Shane Steichen. And we'll certainly get into those comments. Before we dive into that, anything, Eddie, you want to mention league-wide or owner related?
Just some like other minor things. You can review if a quarterback was down now, like if the ball got out of the hand or not, like you can challenge that.
Guy up top, or I guess guy or gal, I don't know.
Sky judge or whatever.
Replay official or can assist in that and can overturn, if I'm not mistaken, like roughing the passer stuff or you know, intentional grounding, was he outside the pocket, those sorts of things.
Yeah, and then the other one was if the snap got off in time, the good old zero on the play clock, and then 2 seconds later the ball gets snapped.
Yeah, is there like a slight delay on that?
Yeah.
That is a good point there.
I don't think there's anything else. Sean Payton really hated Russell Wilson. that's all I've got, really. Oh, Kalen gave an update. Jackson gave an update on her dad, Jim Irsay.
Yeah, just saying that, you know, he's in good spirits, but certainly it's a long recovery. And, you know, said when it's time, you know, he will comment on his own health there. But yeah, she hopped on with Pat McAfee there down from the owners' meetings yesterday. All right, let's get into Steichen and Ballard related comments. And Eddie, if you don't mind, I'm going to start here. There was something that Chris Ballard said yesterday to those down there that I could not agree with more. I think it's one of the most intriguing possibilities for the 2024 Colts, and I think fans should be very eager to see it in action, and it's not something we saw a whole lot this past season. So I'll start with that.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to assume you're talking about the two players that only got one snap together in Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I could not agree with Chris Ballard more on this and that. It's super intriguing. I mean, when you think about Lamar Jackson and the running backs he's had next to him, Eddie, I don't think you talk about a league-leading rusher. I mean, and that's obviously what Taylor has on the resume. And look at last year with Gardner Minshew next to him and what he did in that season finale against Houston. And, you know, I know this play's been brought up a lot, but when you watch it from the All-22 or you watch it from behind the defense, you know, that touchdown run by Zach Moss against Tennessee and just all the eyes that were on Anthony Richardson from Titan defenders there, that tells you everything you need to know about having that dual threat nature at the quarterback position. And now instead of, you know, what's Zach Moss, 4.5 in the 40, 4.6 in the 40?
Yeah.
To 4.3 in the 40. And we've seen Taylor, no one, you know, I'd argue very few in the NFL turn, you know, 4 into 40 better than him. That is the weapon that you would have. So, again, as far as Ballard stuff that I agreed with in terms of what 2024 could look like for this team, that's exactly where I would begin. You know, obviously a lot of the focus, Eddie, is on the continuity aspect. And, you know, Ballard had the quote of different does not mean better. You know, continuity was a word that Shane Steichen used a lot. Yeah, I don't think by no means was I thinking or asking for an overhaul this offseason. But right now, you know, if you look at it, Eddie, I mean, it's team run it back with every single starter.
Yep.
You know, we'll see how Julian Blackman's situation plays out. But, you know, Raekwon Davis and Joe Flacco were not brought here to be starters.
Does your opinion on that, or do you think fans' opinions change on that if the outcome of the Cleveland game is a win, if the outcome at the end of the season against Houston is a win, and they're a playoff team from a season ago instead of
it's
being
very possible.
A team that didn't make it?
Yeah, I think that's very possible. But, you know, even if you remove yourself just from the present of the 2023 season and you look at the entire Ballard era, this is largely how he's operated.
100%.
And the results have been the results. And I don't need to remind anybody of that. So to me, I think there's the weird obsession where, like, continuity is the end-all be-all. And that is the route you have to go. And I'm like, wait, can you not marry the two a little bit more? Like, injection of life to your roster of guys that, I don't know, maybe bring an edge or two. Maybe have a little bit of a different resume. Sure, there's a risk when you bring an outside of the building person in, but that risk could lead to reward of, you know what? A dude from a team that's, whatever, been in this place and that place and has handled that and has seen that, he might offer some different perspective and what maybe lights a fire into guys.
Yeah.
And you feed off of that. That is, I think, an avenue that should and needs to be explored instead of, you know, for the most part, Eddie, it's been team pretty much 19 starters back from the year before.
Yeah.
That's been kind of the constant theme throughout the Ballard era, I would argue, throughout kind of the better part of it when you look at the core guys. I mean, right now this defense is literally team running back.
Yes.
From a defense I would not classify as, you know, playoff caliber defense. And, you know, what did Ballard say at the end of the season when asked about the secondary issues? He didn't blame Gus Bradley.
Mm-mm.
I screwed up there. Okay, so right now, again, it's status quo. We'll see how the rest of the offseason plays out. So that, to me, just doesn't really play out.
What did you think about his statement yesterday about the current state of the Colts secondary?
Yeah, it just seems a lot of... I'll go back to the Joel Erickson comment I thought was so good. I just think you need to raise the floor of that secondary a little bit more. Jalen Jones had a really nice rookie season. You know, Juju Brents, I think there were some flashes there, but...
he's got to be healthy.
I think adding insurance on top of the ceiling that you feel like is there is important to do. Again, mm-hmm. You can still believe in the ceiling, but also raise the floor if you follow that. And that's where I think kind of a veteran there and at safety is what I would look to. And I'd also argue you're going to play some quarterbacks that can expose your secondary a whole lot more than the quarterbacks you played last year.
And I think you're playing some damn good wide receivers too.
Sure. And both of that plays into it. The other thing that I wanted to make sure that we mentioned here is in relation to just the overall belief of they feel like Anthony Richardson is a difference maker who can, you know, help them take a leap. I'm very intrigued by Richardson. I would say the 170 or so snaps offered some serious positive curiosity, anticipation, however you want to describe it, in his game. I made the analogy on our morning show, and I will try to make it here again, Eddie, and I apologize to anyone that this does not follow. I compare the support for Anthony Richardson to going into a public with your baby for the first time.
Okay.
All right. So, Eddie, when you get there, you're going to go in public with your baby, and you're going to look at your wife and think, oh, my God, can we do this? Should we do it? And all of a sudden, you're going to start packing the diaper bag to head out in public, and you're going to think you're packing for college and not coming home for 4 years. You're going to pack and you're going to throw in the teething cracker. You're going to throw in the pouch. You're going to throw in the overpriced giraffe named Sophie. You're going to throw in three passies because, you know, low. I mean, you could easily lose, you know, two of them, right?
One can be dropped on the floor.
It, it, And, you know, there's definitely not going to be water, or you're going to have a wipe to clean that off or anything. Here's the toy that grandma got her because, you know, grandma might be there and you don't want to offend grandma if you don't have the proper toy there. That one book that, you know, you seem like calmed, you know, your baby down a few weeks ago, that worked. So you throw that into the bag. You've got 37 things and you're going to use two, but you never know which 37 you're going to need.
Uh-huh.
I compare that to the support for a rookie contract quarterback.
I like the that comparison. You freshening it up a little bit with your analogy.
You go above and beyond. You support and you support. And at the end of the day, if you have too much, that's a good problem to have. Because at some point, it's going to flip. At some point, the baby now is in the crib. The baby now can walk. The baby can talk. The baby can tell you what he or she wants. And at some point, the quarterback is going to be at a level you hope where they can do the heavy lifting. They can walk. They can talk. And frankly, financially, they're in a position of you just can't do. You can't have all those things in the diaper bag anymore. That's where you're going to be at some point. So I don't know if that analogy is the greatest one by any means, but I've always been a big believer, and I've probably used the kitchen analogy more, is you stock that damn cupboard.
Yep.
And you make sure that you have enough ingredients there because you don't know what you're going to need. That's my general thought on a young QB. I also would ask, does Anthony Richardson play defense? Does he play corner or safety? Did I miss him out on the field against Puka Nacua in that Rams game when Richardson was great in that game in getting you back into it? But when you needed to stop the most, Anthony Richardson is sitting on the bench. And your defense couldn't make that play. So I don't, that to me doesn't follow or check out really at all. And I would say probably the last item just kind of on this, Eddie, is if the Colts believe that, if they really feel like that is their thought, like they think, oh my gosh, Richardson, guys, he is an absolute budding star and we're going to be right there. Isn't this an opportunity to maximize it?
Yes.
I think there's this misconception in the league of young QBs don't have great team success. Eddie, off the top of my head, Super Bowl teams that got to the Super Bowl with rookie contract quarterbacks, Brock Purdy and the 49ers, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Mahomes got there before the second contract. You go back to Jared Goff and the Rams. Again, there are very, and I name all those quarterbacks because a lot of them are different styles, different in what was on their plate, different in how much they were making. You know, frankly, Purdy's making nothing as a seventh round pick. But what I'm getting at there is they all fall on the money is not earth shattering. The commas are not a million of them for the second contract. Now is a time to, again, take advantage of it and maximize it. Certainly, I think you're seeing that a little bit in Houston. Certainly, I think you're seeing that heavily in Tennessee. You're seeing a little bit of that in Jacksonville. And I look at this offseason so far, and there will be a couple more off seasons to do this. I don't want to act like it's a one-off season chance and then you're done. But it's probably a three-year window. For the most part, that window, we'll see how the rest of the offseason plays out, but I think the majority of that is probably done. That first year of the window, it's closed. Or it is closing is probably the better way to put it. And I was listening, I forget who I was listening to, but someone was saying like, well, the Colts feel like this is Anthony Richardson's rookie year. So maybe they're viewing it as a, okay, let's not jump on it now. This is his rookie year. Let's see it and evaluate. Well, you can call it his rookie year, but it's not his rookie year financially.
Right.
I mean, you are now paying him second year money, and then you'll pay him third and fourth, and that is still relatively manageable. The fifth year team option is where it jumps. And I think you have to remember too, you know, this time next year, if everything goes according to plan, you're going to pay Bernard Raimann a pretty handsome contract extension. So, you know, there's still some other things that you're going to have to do on your roster that's going to tie your hands financially moving forward. So that's one that's just really head-scratching to me of, if you believe that, that's fine. But to me, it's like, wait, can you not maximize that? Or since when does that impact what you do in the secondary? Because at some point, you play complementary football. At some point, you win a divisional round game on the road 15-6 against Baltimore. At some point, you draw Larry Johnson in the opening round of the playoffs, and he's the league's leading rusher, and how are you going to stop him a month after you just gave up 300 rushing yards to the Jags? And Peyton Manning's 2006 Super Bowl run here in Indy would be the poster child of you need to have complementary football. So that's where it's very head scratching for me in the nature to how they've operated, and really more on kind of the explanation of how they operated here. So that was probably my general thought in exiting and just where the Colts are at now, a couple weeks into free agency and where they are. Anything on that, Eddie, or should we go to a little bit of Twitter questions?
I was going
to
say the belief in Anthony Richardson can be summarized by the Shane Steichen video that's gone viral of him showing some emotion for the first time.
He was very emotional. A Josh Downs play, right? He realized that Josh Downs was open pre-snap and was able to find him there.
And you can just see
he's
Shane.
Giddy.
Yeah, very giddy about Anthony. And I think there's a little bit of that giddiness compared to like when he was talking about Justin Herbert. Of like, he just gets it. Like, he asks the right questions. He thinks about things that I don't think about.
And that, again, all of it, great, fine and well. I love it. I think there's reason to be intrigued. All of that. But there's look at it two ways. Either still you don't truly know, because you just never know until you see the full-on bright lights, road games, you know, December football, 2 minutes, playoffs on the line. You know, C.J. Stroud, the first play of the game against the Colts. Whoa. I mean, has Richardson ever sniffed that moment in his football career? No. I mean, sadly, he just hasn't been put in those situations. You can look at it that way of make sure you support while you have a time to support. We talked about it on last week's podcast. If you want to nerd out over the numbers, there's no better time financially to build a football team than when you do have the rookie contract quarterback. That is the time if you really want to, you know, look at the numbers on that. So, I don't know. Was the baby analogy horrible or did it
No,
work?
I thought it was good. By the way, the 2027 free agent class for the Colts, yikes. So that would be, what, after year four for Anthony Richardson? So you'd be going into 2028? Is that right?
That sounds right. I don't know. All the years are running together, but yeah.
Anyway, that would be Quentin Nelson, Michael Pittman Jr., Jonathan Taylor, Kenny Moore, Grover Stewart, Juju Brents, Josh Downs, Blake Freeland, Jalen Jones.
Yeah, boy, that is a long time away, isn't it?
Yeah. But financially speaking, on the Richardson part of that, you'll be nearing that time for him to get that, hopefully that second track contract, assuming he's healthy. And it'd be around that fifth-year team option range, so, oh boy.
I know you're up against it a little bit. Let's run through the few Twitter questions that we do have.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Connor is up first. Can you remember any comment from Chris Ballard since the end of the season that explains his lack of signings for the secondary so far? It seemed like everything he said led us to expect a decent free agent signing.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I go back to that press conference at the end of the season, Eddie, when he said, you know, in regards to Richardson, it opens the world up a little bit financially, which is a good thing. Now you look at Stephen Holder's report of they made a bigger offer to Danielle Hunter than the Texans did. Danielle Hunter, of course, had some ties to Houston. It's weird. It almost seems like the offseason had a bit of a, we're going to try for a Hunter and a Snead, and if we don't get that, then we have to pivot to re-sign everybody in-house. Like, there wasn't really a marriage of the two, you know? It was either, like, outside the building or inside the building. It almost had that feel to it. It would have been interesting had they gotten a Hunter, you know, how that would have impacted certainly the rest of the offseason. You know, Connor, to this point, and someone brought it up at the end of the year, like, don't you see them just returning the in-house guys? Like, I mean, I asked that question to Ballard. I was like, wait, on paper here, like, past precedent indicates you're going to just re-sign the four big free agents, and if you operate the same financial way as you typically do, you're not going to do much else. And he didn't commit to that on January whatever, 12th, whenever that press conference was, but it was a thought that I definitely had, and now as we've seen it play out, that's pretty much how it has played out. It's just interesting going back to, again, the Ballard admitting like the secondary was on him. And I think you want to let the young guys grow, but I don't think you want to force needs in the draft. And, you know, corner is a hard position for instant impact.
Are we about to enter that territory where these veterans that are still on the market are waiting for the draft to happen to see where their value is?
Yeah, we're probably getting somewhat close to that. Yeah, I would say definitely when the calendar gets to April is where we're at on that. But, you know, and again, I know Quincy Wilson and Rock Ya-Sin weren't 15th overall picks, but, like, I mean, they had some big-time struggles as rookies. You know, Quinion Mitchell, a lot of people would love him from Toledo, you know, facing, you know, NFL competition week in and week out is different than MAC competition week in and week out. Is there that initial growth period, culture shock, however you want to describe it, to that sort of challenge there? More than anything, I just hate forcing needs in the draft. You know, you never know how the board's going to fall. There's always surprises. You never know. So I don't want to sit there at 15 and think, guys, we didn't do anything in the secondary. You know, we didn't do anything, you know, corner-wise. So that's where I would go on that.
Jake is up next. Was being a couple plays away from winning the division, fooling Ballard into thinking this team is closer than it really is. Didn't he make the same mistake after Andrew Luck and Philip Rivers years?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, certainly the division is much, much better. I would argue the schedule, certainly last year, is better. You know, in a way, you hear the Richardson comment, and it's almost like, man, is all of a sudden the tone changed to it is about one player? Yeah. Whereas, you know, the opening press conference, it clearly wasn't about one player. It's just, it's a lot of pressure on the young kid. And again, he could exceed that and look great and have a Stroud rookie year or however you want to describe it. And then it's going to be like, wait, if you think that, shouldn't you act on it? And, like, really try to go on? Because if you look at the AFC South right now, Eddie, I mean, you know, we're starting to see the over-under on wins thrown out there. I think Houston's at 9.5. Colts are at 8.5. Jacksonville's at 8.5. You know, Tennessee's a little bit behind. But, like, three teams all within one game of an over-under, You don't see that always in the NFL. And the AFC South hasn't offered that on a very routine basis. But I see the division playing out in a very competitive nature as it did last year. I mean, last year, all three of those teams, you know, were in it until, you know, the deep, deep parts of the, I mean, hell, until the final week of the regular season. And I still go back to, I think I brought this up a few pods ago. It's a lot of, like, you're just banking on the internal, you're banking all on internal growth and internal health improving. And it's like, well, it's the NFL. Not everybody does grow, and not everybody does stay healthy. You know, you're going to have, whatever. Kenny Moore and the O-line are probably good examples of great, bad, bounce back. You know, if you kind of want to look at it like that, well, you know, other guys could have that. Like, has Brayden Smith hit a wall in his career, or is Brayden Smith going to have a bounce back?
Right.
Is Kwity Paye going to take the 4-year jump, or is this kind of who Kwity Paye is? You know, what do you have at corner? You know, as much as you did have injuries with Richardson and with Taylor, again, Pittman was healthy throughout the year. Zaire was healthy throughout the year. You know, Buckner was healthy throughout the year. You know, your O-line, I would say outside of Braden, I mean, you know, Quentin and Ryan Kelly were both, you know, very, very healthy. So Ryman, you know, for the most part was really healthy. So that's where I'm just like a little bit of that. Man, it's just a lot to bank on the, again, everything's going to improve internally. And we'll be healthy.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Two questions left. Alex and Blopa. We will go with Alex first and round out with Blopa. Good morning, Kevin. I have a question for the next podcast. With the L'Jarius Sneed news, I just can't help but wonder what it's going to take for Chris Ballard to change his approach. Everything is based on the draft and hope at this point and nothing new. We easily are the least improved roster in our division, arguably, and everyone else has gotten better. Yet some fans keep making excuses for Ballard. It starts at the top with Irsay, because how can he not see what's going on with this roster? This is frustrating. Ballard thinks he's the smartest man in the room, yet hasn't won anything. It doesn't seem to bother him or Irsay at this point. What is it going to take? Now, I couldn't raise my tone in terms of inflection enough to match all the exclamation points that were in this, Alex, so I will let you...
A lot of emphasis is what you're saying there.
Yeah. Take that for as you wish.
I think the question as a whole, Eddie, is an interesting one of like, and I've thought about this a lot with the Colts under Chris Bowers' regime of when do, if, let me start over. Will we ever see a tweak, an adjustment, a change to it? You know, a couple drafts ago, well, it was last year's draft. Something that I liked about last year's draft was I thought you addressed premium positions with the premium picks. Your quarterback in round one, corner round two, wide out round three. Then they go tackle with Freeland, I think it was, in four. You know, like that, you know, Darius Rush in five. Like, you know, that feel to it was something that I thought made sense. And it wasn't, you know, the linebacker tackle guard early or, you know, running back or, you know, those sorts of things to it. And then I kept on going back to the quote I mentioned for our first question today in the pop quiz, Eddie, is it opens us up financially.
Pop quiz?
Which is a good thing. Did I say pop quiz again?
Yep.
Gosh, podcast. I don't know why the pop quiz is stuck in my head. Apologies. Going back to the first podcast question of, in regards to Richardson, it opens us up a little bit more financially, which is a good thing. Oh, that's different, you know? I mean, it is a much different quarterback situation, age, contractually, however you want to look at it, than the Colts have operated in other offseasons. So I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? Are we going to see stuff that is different? And so far, we haven't. It's been very status quo to the norm. And, you know, I mentioned earlier Ryman. You know, let's say like Dio or Quitty take a step forward. And who knows, maybe they will pick up Quitty's fifth-year option. I mean, that's a decision here in the next month, month and a half, that they have to make a decision on. You know, that will be a pay increase. You know, Dio could very well get a nice contract here next offseason. You know, Ryman, of course, from an extension standpoint. I mean, financially, you're going to be...
in the same spot.
Yeah, well, I mean, just in a difference. You have nowhere near the amount of flexibility you have this offseason. I mean, this offseason, you walked in here with $70 million, and you had decisions to make. Who you wanted to bring back, who you wanted to go after.
Plus Buckner.
Know, like frontless self. You know, Buckner is a great example of his contract coming up as well. So I guess to Alex's point, I understand the frustration. That's been the general theme. But to me, I've really tried to make sense of the why. And... what is it going to take to alter things? You know, I'm a big believer in results should impact process.
Yeah.
You know, the definition of insanity is this. I'm not saying you need to overhaul. And I've never, you know, I've always said when it comes to Gregson and Ballard, if you want to look at the two recent GMs and their free agency philosophies, marrying the two, I think, is the best mode of operation. I thought both were at two ends of the spectrum when it comes to their extreme nature to it. Now, and obviously, Ryan Grigson was in this situation, and he hit a home run on Vontae Davis, and he swung out the bases loaded with Trent Richardson. He made big swings with luck on the rookie deal. You know, this is the time to make those swings, of course, right now. And again, it's one off season. There will be several more. The draft could lead to something. We'll see. But so far, it's pretty status quo.
On the front part of Alex's question, I don't know if this is something that we've talked about at all in the pod. Your thoughts on the L'Jarius Sneed trade to Tennessee along with the contract that he received?
Yeah, what were the guarantees again?
$55 million guaranteed.
I thought it was right around 50. Yeah, I mean, that's rich. You know, if you look at the contract, because I did look at it a little bit, basically, I think there was an out after 2 years. And, you know, again, if you're Tennessee, you're thinking to yourself there, boy, if we could get two really, really quality years. I also think there's a misconception with compensatory picks. You know, a lot of people have said, hey, you know, Kansas City's just going to get a comp pick, or they could have gotten a comp pick, I should say, if they would have let Sneed walk.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about comp pick is you only get it if you don't do anything. If you do stuff, the comp pick cancels out. Bobby Okereke signed a really nice deal with the Giants last year. Did the Colts get a comp pick for it? No. Because the Colts did some other stuff. Samson Ebukam's deal was that. Matt Gay's deal was that. So, boom. all of a sudden that deal gets canceled out. So I think there's this misconception of like, no, you're just going to get the comp pick and it's going to work out. I'm like, well, no. I mean, the comp pick, you only get it if, again, you have inactivity on your own end is how that formula works. So I think people know that, but I just wanted to mention that as well. I mean, the Snead contract is, you know, Snead had numbers this year that were all Pro Bowl worthy. He hasn't gotten that accolade, but the completion percentage allowed, the passer rating allowed, I mean, incredible numbers. More than a dozen passes defensed. If you can get two quality seasons out of them while, you know, still feeling like you can build elsewhere, and Tennessee clearly does. You know, Levis obviously is making even less money than Richardson. That is where I see the benefit in it. So, you know, I think Snead was a swing worth taking.
For Tennessee?
Yeah. And I get that there's, you know, a bit of a question about the knee and, you know, how much he played through that. And I think he passed his physical yesterday. So, but again, to me, when you look at the contract a little bit closer, I think it's mostly just kind of a two-year. It's a big two-year swing. But if he plays like he did this year, it's a hit that definitely will benefit them.
Yes or no, you would have done that if you were Chris Ballard.
Yeah. Yeah, because I would have felt, you know, good about probably recouping the third-round pick at some point. And it's a swing at a premium position. And that's where I keep on coming back to. Plus, it's a proven dude. You know, again, you take Quinion Mitchell, you take Terrion Arnold, you take whoever at 15, there's still the unprovenness. You know, Snead did it and did it, you know, playing a lot of zone too, which is, you know, obviously something that fits the Colts defense as well.
Final question comes from Blopa. Chris Ballard has focused free agency on his own players, and a lot of fans didn't like it because they don't see an improvement, but I disagree. I think it's a luxury that few teams get. I think the chemistry between the players is very valuable, and maybe it's what Indy needs to have a season fast start. I know there's not a lot of confidence in the secondary, as if the players don't grow up. On the other hand, I think there are going to be reinforcements. Ballard uses all avenues to bring in players after the draft, which is loaded with quarterbacks. They are going to see cuts in other teams, so options are going to open up. It's too much drama for my taste. What do you think? Colts and drama? What?
Yeah. You know, drama, I don't know if that's the word I would use. You know, to me, drama lacks valid points. It lacks support. And I think there is plenty of valid points and support for people that are disagreeing with how the Colts have operated. I would say I'm here, Blopa. I don't think chemistry is not nothing. Sorry for the double negative, but like chemistry is something.
And you're a teacher. Come on now.
I know. Chemistry is not nothing. But it seems like in Ballard's building eyes, it's almost everything.
Hopefully none of your students listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not nothing, but again, I think in the Colts' eyes, at times, I feel like it's everything. And I hope that makes sense. You know, again, I mean, what was Shane Steichen's endorsement for Gus Bradley was, I believe in continuity.
Yep.
That's a little bit of coming home from the date and being like, boy, she was really smart. You know, it's just a little bit like that.
He doubled down on that, too, at the owners' meeting. Shane did about continuity. And the importance of continuity.
So, again, a little bit of a happy medium is kind of where I'm at with that. The other team's cuts, you are getting sloppy seconds for a reason there. Now, you know, certainly there are examples of hits and there are examples of misses when you do operate in that manner there. So, I would just say just the last aspect to it is the benefit of the doubt is there for other GMs. The benefit of the doubt with Ballard, I don't think is as there.
It's year eight.
Right. You know, I've said this in some way, you know, 90-some percent of the GMs with that resume would no longer be getting the chance into year eight. So I think that's where you see some of it. So, again, chemistry and continuity, I do think there are benefits to that. I do think retaining your own, the homegrown talent there is. But I also think going outside of your building and finding guys that add something to your team, bring different sorts of perspective, thoughts, challenge people, bring an edge that can be very well served in trying to get over the hump and creating something new. And when you've largely operated in this manner and the results are the results, I think there are reasons to sit down and say, you know what? Should the process be altered? I'm not saying you throw the binder away. But again, tweaks. That's the word I've tried to use with Ballard and season-ending pressers of saying, do you feel like there are any tweaks that need to be made to your roster-building approach? Because I do. I mean, he has hit on many draft picks in his career. He's found very quality to high-end players. But when you are approaching a decade and it's the no division titles and it's the one playoff win, and I forget the exact numbers, Eddie, but you know, I want to say it's like, I think it's like, and obviously Gregson, the last 2 years of Gregson factor into this. So if you go back now 9 seasons, 7 Ballard, 2 Gregson, I believe it's 25 of 32 NFL teams have won a division title since the Colts last did. So when 25, and take the Colts out, when 25 of 31 have accomplished something you haven't, that to me was saying, what should you do differently?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at playoff wins in that realm, you know, it's not as big of a number. I want to say I looked it up. I think it's like 21 teams have won multiple playoff games in that time span. The Colts, you know, have just won the one in Houston. Again, when you see those results, that to me is just, it's time to look in the mirror a little bit.
When we reconvene next week to record the next edition of Kevin's Corner, will Purdue still be playing?
Purdue beats Arizona for the national title a week from Monday.
Disagree.
You got UConn?
No.
Ooh, talk to me.
North Carolina.
Ooh, I got Alabama beating Carolina.
The most underrated one seed of all time.
Wow, high praise there from Eddie Garrison.
Nobody's talked about them, like, at all. Like, everyone talks about Arizona. Everyone talks about UConn. Everyone talks about Tennessee, Purdue, Houston. There's another one seed, people, that nobody's talking about. They're experienced.
I think part of that is what happens when you're like the fourth one seed and you get sent out west. It's just kind of like it's a team that Michigan State hung in there for 30 minutes and then Carolina stepped on their throat the rest of the way. Interesting. I like it. I respect the boldness, Eddie Garrison. Let's go, Reds. Opening day. Everybody have a great rest of the week. Great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.